and later died at a hospital. There's no word on what his motive may have been. The Federal Trade Commission is shutting down four groups that it says were responsible for billions of robocalls. The FTC says the groups pitched a variety of services from auto warranties and debt relief to home security systems, fake charities, and help improving Google search results. The FTC says in a news release that it brought dozens of cases targeting illegal robocalls and that fighting unwanted calls remains one of the FTC's highest priorities. And as we mentioned at the top of the news, it's opening day across Major League Baseball. All 30 clubs are in action, starting with the Yankees and Orioles in the Bronx and the Mets and the Nationals in D.C. The Phillies and new star Bryce Harper open at home against the Braves. And the World Series Red Sox, the champs, close out the night in Seattle. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the 10 ways you can stay motivated during stressful times, how to use voice search to build your brand, we'll review your goals for 2019 and how you can still achieve them, I'll talk about how you can and why you should empower your employees, and I'll have the 9 common email mistakes you may be making and need to stop now. It's Thursday, March 28th, 2019. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, quick check of the weather shows it is currently 49 degrees at 12:05. Today, it'll be sunny with a few clouds, a high of 57 and a low of 43. For tomorrow, it'll be cloudy with a high of 65 and a low of 49, a little warming trend starting up. For Saturday, it'll be cloudy with a slight chance of a shower and a high of 71 degrees, a low of 53. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy with showers and a high of 56 and a low of 33. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 21.69 to 25,603.90. The NASDAQ down 9.89 to 7,633.49. S&P 500 down 2.79 to 2802.34. Oil is down 36 cents to $59.05 per barrel. And gold down $21.10 to $1,296.10 an ounce. All right, well, it's time to get into the program. I want to thank you all for joining me. Once again, this is Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com as we get together every weekday at this time. So glad you could join me, and hopefully you're getting a little bit out of listening not only to this program but to the many programs that are here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. If you're listening, chances are you're by a computer, you're listening on your cell phone or tablet, and what I ask you to do at this time is open up another browser and go to facebook.com and look up Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Like and follow that page, and then you'll get updates midweek on either topics I'll be talking about on upcoming shows or if there's something that happens legislatively that may affect business something that I think is important for you to watch out for in your business. You know, I'll post it first on my Facebook page, and then we'll talk about it on the show. Another way you can keep track of the show is to follow my website, www.jimgano.com. There's a page there for taking care of business, and we're working on creating an archive page there so you can go back and listen to old shows and interviews and things like that. So a whole lot going on here at 100 and Chamber Radio. So glad you could join me. And at this time in the program, it's time for our business quote of the week, and it's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And I don't think there's anybody better at getting people up and motivated than Tony Robbins. And the quote this week comes from him, and it says, "People who succeed have momentum. The more they succeed, the more they want to succeed, and the more they find a way to succeed. Similarly, when someone is failing, the tendency is to get on a downward spiral that can even become a self-fulfilling prophecy." So if you think about successful people, very oftentimes you find it's just success after success after success after success. And I don't want to say that if you look at people who are failing, but if you look at people who do struggle, it seems as if not that they wallow in it, but that they tend to not be able to see the positive side of things. And that's, you know, bothersome for me, because a lot of times, and I'm going to give you a perfect example of this in a few minutes, but a lot of times, you know, changing your attitude can change your outcome. And I don't want to get all on attitude, because I don't think that's always the cure-all. But I've worked with people, I've seen people that are very negative, and I find that that negativity prevents them from doing other greater things in their lives. So as Tony said, people who succeed have momentum. The more they succeed, the more they want to succeed, and the more they find a way to succeed. And similarly, when someone is failing, the tendency is to get on a downward spiral that can even become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So again, it just comes down to, it starts with your attitude. Do you have the right attitude? Do you have a successful attitude? And a lot of times you'll hear people talk about envisioning or visualizing success. What does that mean to you? And then from then, is that a car? Is it a house? You know, what? How do you define success? And then what can you visualize that? And you've heard people say, I want you to, if your goal is to own a Mercedes-Benz, put a picture of a Mercedes-Benz up on your computer screen and work towards that. That's what you're working for. For others, it might be a vacation, it might be a diamond ring, something like that. So whatever you're working for or towards, then, you know, make that part of your visualization exercise. And then, so that can be helpful as well. I have two students working with me this week from the 100 Central Workplace Readiness Program. And I have one student, as we're working on this one exercise at a table, that he's very quiet, almost non-communicative, but he listens and you tell him what the task is and he just goes right to it. And then another student, when you tell him, this is what we're working on today, this is what I want you to do, the first thing out of his mouth is either no, I can't, I won't, or something of that nature. And it bothers me, because when you start with no, when you start with I can't, I won't, it's as if you're building a wall, and it's preventing you from any kind of success. And so the first day he told me, or the second day of the exercise, he told me, I hate you, and I hope your business closes. And at first I was a little shocked by it, but I knew that's probably not how he feels. It was probably more the frustration that he felt about the exercise, and I had to figure out a way that I could make him try to do it better. He struggled with some manual dexterity issues. He's struggled with counting. And so the next day I came in and I laid out 15 pennies, because we had to bundle 15 medals. And I said, let's count these. So he was able to count, and it took a few tries, but he was able to count up to 15. I said, that's all we need. Instead of 15 pennies, we're going to use 15 medals. And his coworker was already excelling at the project. Then when it came time to bundle the medals, he had a few manual dexterity issues in twisting the rubber band. So we had to come up with a way for him to be able to do that. And again, with practice, with patience, he eventually got it. To the point where on the third day, he was rolling. And on that third day, I started the training session with an old expression that I had heard on a cassette tape program back when motivational speakers used to put out cassette tapes. Anybody born after 1985, ask your parents what a cassette tape is. And it was Earl Nightingale's Lead the Field. You've heard me talk about his story with Acres of Diamonds and things like that. But in this tape, this one section, he talked about attitude and how attitude could really change your outlook both on life, about your job, about success, similar to what we were talking about with Tony Robbins in the quote of the week. And so I found a very beautiful picture. It was a lake scene at sunset, and it was very beautiful. And I typed the following. You know, I titled it Attitude. And I said, and this is what Earl Nightingale said, poor attitude equals poor results. Fair attitude equals fair results. Good attitude equals good results. Great attitude equals great results. Excellent attitude equals excellent results. And so I asked the one student who was struggling, what is your attitude today? And he said that he had a good attitude, maybe leaning towards poor. And I asked the other student, and he said he had an excellent attitude. So the first student saw that his partner had an excellent attitude. He says, I'm going to change mine to excellent. I said, okay, but if you're going to be excellent, you got to work with an excellent attitude. You've got to not be frustrated. You got to just plow through the struggles, and we're going to get through it and come out stronger on the other side. And we started doing our bundles and started doing our counting, and he saw that his partner was, you know, able to produce. So he tried a little harder, and we kept encouraging him, positive reinforcement. And all of a sudden, we noticed he was doing it by himself. He was able to twist the rubber band. He was able to count to 15. He was able to hold it in his hand. Simple things like he didn't understand the concept of pinching. So I gave him an example of if you jump into a pool, you might pinch your nose so that the water doesn't go up your nose. So I would say to him, pinch your nose so that you remember that you're using your fingertips, then pinch the ribbons, fold it over, and rubber band it. Now, every time he does this exercise, you'll see him as he gets his bundle of 15, first he pinches his nose, then he pinches the ribbon, then he puts the rubber band on, and he is excelling, and he's keeping up one-to-one with the other student. And his whole attitude changed because now he proved to himself he could do it. And I think a lot of times, these students and others are being coddled. They're not being challenged. If they say they can't do it, mom and dad say, that's okay, you know, we'll do something else. And I think that really hurts their ability, their self-confidence. And so by showing him, we're going to fight through this. You can hate me. You can hope my store closes, but it's not going to. You know, we're going to work through this. Today, he just came in, sat down, and started working on the medals. And it was a great thing to see. And I thought this was going to take 2 or 3 weeks. It took 2 days. And that's, I think, what Tony Robbins talks about when he says people who succeed have momentum. The more they succeed, the more they want to succeed, and the more they find a way to succeed. And similarly, when someone is failing, the tendency is to get on a downward spiral that can even become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So do you ever get like that? Do you ever have a setback and then think, well, you know, I'm not good enough, or I can't do this, or something like that? And how do you either get yourself out of it, or do you stay there? A lot of times on Facebook, I'll see people posting, and it's negative on Monday, then it's negative on Tuesday, negative on Wednesday, negative Thursday and Friday, and the only time you see something positive come out of them is Saturday and Sunday because they're working for the weekend. And that's a shame because you have so much more to give. Yeah, we're going to get some setbacks, whether they're financial, whether they're career-driven, whether they're personal. How are you willing to fight through them and work, push through them? Are you willing to change your attitude from poor to excellent to get better results? You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for our first break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about 9 mistakes you might be making in sending out emails that could hurt your business. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterton Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Working
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program, Taking Care of Business. And I want to get right into the program because I've seen some things over the last couple of weeks that when this story came up, I said, this may be a topic that we have to touch on just a little bit. And that is mistakes that people make in writing their emails, particularly when they're writing an email for business. Now, email already takes up way too much time and effort, and it's even worse when a careless mistake or misunderstood message comes back to haunt you. Now, email is a modern wonder in many senses, and it took the time to deliver a message down to a fraction of a second and negligible cost, but it also opened businesses up to a whole slew of problems. Email takes up, again, far too much time and effort for the average worker today, but it is even worse when the person on the other side of the message doesn't understand proper email usage. So if you are the one making the mistakes, it can come back to hurt you. So here are 9 embarrassing email mistakes that you should avoid when you're sending an email in your personal business and ideally anytime you send out an email. The first is a messed up mail merge. Now, a lot of times we often blame technology for not working right, but when it comes to mail merge mistakes, it's often user or operator error. One simple mistake in a mail merge can turn into a major embarrassment when the bulk email goes out to your entire customer list or sales funnel. Mail merges require very precise bracketing and labeling for the names to get mapped to the right place in an email. In many cases, it is simply a missing closing bracket or misspelling in the mail merge forms that causes the issue. Whenever you send a mail merge email to any group, always double and triple check everything before clicking the send button. This happened to me this year with my accountant where they said, here's your prep packet. And it's usually 6 or 7 pages of, you know, fill in the blanks. This is how much we made. This is charitable contributions. This is what we spent on education, something like that, investments. And when I opened it up, the attachment was 87 pages long. I'm like, I don't have the time to go through 87 pages. When we met with the accountant, she admitted it was her mistake. She didn't code everything correctly. So I appreciated that, but I also handed her a blank pack and said, I don't have time to do this. So then we sat down for about an hour and filled in all the blanks together. The other issue that is probably one of the ones that bother people the most is reply all. Now, if you get a group email and it's something like, you know, I'd like everybody to, you know, come to the conference room at 2 p.m., for a meeting, and then all of a sudden 30 people start hitting, I'll be there, 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 I'll be there. It gets annoying because all it's doing is clogging up other people's mailboxes. So moments after hitting send and realizing the message went to more than the intended audience can cause a feeling of despair. You can avoid it by setting your default button to reply instead of reply all. Because if you do hit reply all and send to too many people, you might find yourself among a growing number of people who have lost customers, contracts, jobs, and relationships from one wrong click of the mouse. Now, in most cases, an email that goes to the wrong audience shouldn't be enough to damage a career or relationship. And one way to avoid that is, even if you do it accidentally, hit the reply all button is to never send an email that you wouldn't want to see printed in the newspaper. In this day and age, that should be the standard for all emails. As we can see from the fallout for some business executives and politicians after an email has gone wrong, and then we have the retractions. If you send out an email but you don't personalize a templated response, that's another way, a mistake that people make in emails. So when you're applying for jobs, recent college graduates often write one form email in their Gmail or Outlook account to a group of businesses and simply customize the name and a paragraph or two. Forgetting to change the name in a templated response shows a lack of attention to detail and a level of carelessness that means the applicant isn't going to get the job. But that same scenario can happen in business under many scenarios. After all, a mail merge doesn't always make sense, and sometimes you want to personalize a portion of an email without rewriting the entire thing each time. So make sure to pay attention to that detail, or it could lead to an embarrassing reply. In the worst case, you could give up the name of another customer or target on the list, making it that much worse for your business. The next is using what we call text message grammar. If you're writing an email, that's almost like business correspondence. So using things like OMG, LOL, and LMAO are arguably appropriate acronyms when sending text messages to friends. However, they never belong in the business world. Now, while some sayings like LOL might have it made it into your office lexicon, don't send that in an email message to clients that look like a text message between two teenagers. You should always use proper spelling, grammar, and punctuation in email messages. You don't need to maintain the high standards of a newspaper editor, but when in doubt, you can take a few moments to look up proper usage. I do this all the time. It drives people nuts, because even on a text message, you know, I don't use the little acronyms and things like that. I'm using commas and periods, and they're like, what are you doing? It's just a text message. Well, it's a representation of me. I'd rather make it look professional and that I actually have a college education. I didn't quit school in third grade. Missing important messages. Everyone gets lots of email in the business world these days, and depending on what you do, that can be hundreds of messages every single day arriving in your inbox. But too many junk and unimportant emails are not an excuse for missing an important message from a boss, coworker, or client. When you are the boss, a missed email could mean a missed project or job that will go to a competitor instead, and you certainly don't want that to happen. So to make sure you never miss an important email, you have a few great tools and strategies available. Consider unsubscribing to email lists and talk to any repeat offenders that CC you on emails too often. If an FYI is TMI, it doesn't belong in your email. You can also set up rules to flag or highlight emails sent only to you from important people or from outside email addresses. Not a bad idea. We get so many in my business, probably close to 500 or 600 a day. Sometimes they're invoices from vendors. Sometimes it's a new order. Sometimes it's junk email. But one of the things we've gotten in the habit of doing is we either flag it or we pull it over to another folder to be reviewed later. The junk email can keep collecting. We'll clear that out later. Important stuff, we actually will print the email and then go back and then process the order later. Worst thing that can happen is a person shows up on Friday looking to pick up an order that you haven't read the email from last Tuesday. An inappropriate reply length. You know, when you're responding to an email, you don't have to write War and Peace. So don't write an essay where a simple paragraph will do just fine, and don't write a sentence or two where something a little more thoughtful is appropriate. It may be easier said than done, but you should work to understand each relationship and message to make sure your reply is appropriate for the task at hand. At one past company, some managers had a reputation for only reading the first paragraph of any email, so you should always put everything important into one paragraph. But if that's going to be too long, they might glaze over and miss important messages there. If something is really important, don't send a short and unhelpful response. Knowing the sweet spot takes a little experience, but if you pay attention, you should get there quickly. Also, don't use bad subject lines. A blank subject line might as well say, "This is an email about nothing important." On the opposite end of the spectrum, a subject line shouldn't be too long or detailed. The idea of a subject line is to offer a brief, clear explanation of the email's main topic, according to email deliverability company ReturnPath. The ideal subject line is about 65 characters in length, and that equates to about one sentence. Now, if you send an email with a truly terrible or blank subject line, it may not be opened at all. That means everything contained within goes to waste, even if it is vital information. When an employer asks for excellent written and verbal communication skills, this is what they're talking about. You need to be able to succinctly explain what the email is about with just enough information to get the recipient to click and open it. I hate it when I get an email from somebody and it just says RE and a colon. Regarding what? Now, that may be a teaser, like I have to open it, but I'd really like to know what you need from me first. So, re-trophy order, re-plaque order, re-upcoming meeting. You know, that's going to get my attention more and get it into the right folder, possibly put it on my calendar. But if you just put re and nothing else, I have no idea what you're looking for. And again, if there's another email in the queue that I deem more important, that's the one I'm going to read. Also, improper emails, chain emails, anything of a sexual nature, and anything that may be construed as offensive, even by people who are easily offended, do not belong in business. There are just too many stories of sexual harassment, insensitive jokes, and workplace discrimination to risk sending any email that could be taken the wrong way. One would think business leaders can easily identify appropriate and inappropriate behavior, but we see stories again and again of what they call bro culture and other workplace and email issues that shouldn't be happening today. If you wouldn't send it to your grandmother or religious leader, don't send it to a business associate. I cannot believe in this day and age, 2019, that we are still seeing pictures of people who, whether they're in an office environment, at a party, and whether it happened 2 minutes ago or 20 years ago, posting pictures of them in blackface. We know it's racially charged. We know it's offensive. Why in the world are these pictures still showing up on your Facebook feeds, Twitter feeds, Instagrams? And understanding that any business that's looking to hire you may go back into your Facebook and look at your pictures to see, are you the one at the party holding the red solo cup? Are you the one passed out and everybody drew Sharpie on your face? Get those pictures off. And anything that is deemed offensive, that you would be embarrassed for your grandmother to see or your priest or rabbi to see, remove them immediately. And finally, there's email overload. And last but certainly not least, don't send too many emails. Everyone is busy these days, and email takes an inordinate amount of our time. So do your best to gather up information and send it in just one email rather than in a string of email. Also, avoid oversharing by sending too many minute details on a regular basis. Email should be a need-to-know platform. So don't send business emails without a business purpose. If you can keep your emails focused and limited to priority issues that impact everyone involved, you're on track for email success for years to come. So I think there's some great advice in there. Don't treat email like it's a instant messaging account or a messaging thing. Don't use the acronyms for LOL and things like that. It just doesn't belong. You know, and the other thing that I will tell you that many people appreciate, you may get 20 emails from a person, the back and the forth, similar with a text message. You get so many back and forth, and yet by just picking up the phone and asking four or five questions, you get all the answers you want. So don't forget, sometimes it's better just to pick up the phone than it is for you to exchange emails, 20, 30 times during the day. And something could get lost, in that email chain. But if you had four or five questions and you need to get them answered, call the person instead, and hopefully you'll be able to get those answers. I guarantee you that in business in the future, as we see so many kids that can't seem to handle a conversation with somebody because all they've done is text all their lives, communication is going to be one of the areas that will set a good employee apart from anyone else if they're able to communicate. And those people that can have proper phone etiquette, those people who can write good emails using proper diction and grammar, I think will be the ones who will succeed. Those who don't, those who are, glued to the phone in front of their face and, they're sitting across the room from somebody, but they prefer to text them than talk to them, those are the ones who are going to struggle down the line. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to have 10 ways that small business owners can stay motivated during stressful times. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Democratic chair of the House Intelligence Committee coming under fire from Republicans as a hearing begins this morning. Democrat Adam Schiff rejecting claims by Republicans that he deliberately fueled a false narrative about Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. But Texas Republican Mike Conaway told him,
"We have no faith in your ability to discharge your duties in a manner consistent with your constitutional responsibility and urge your immediate resignation as chairman chairman of the committee.
In his final report, special counsel Robert Mueller said he could not prove any collusion or conspiracy between Trump's campaign and Russia. The Commerce Department says the U.S. economy grew at 2.2% in the fourth quarter of 2018, down from the third quarter's 3.4% growth. Growth for all of last year comes in at 2.9%. This is USA Radio News.
If you do-it-yourselfers are looking for the right tool for the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale. You'll find a wide selection of Power Torque Tools on sale now and guaranteed for life. Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale going on now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Increase your visibility to great candidates with a free sponsored job upgrade on your first job posting at Indeed.com/promo. The sponsored job upgrade is a $50 sponsored job credit. Users are charged once the credit is spent or it expires. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterandChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, with you every week at this time as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Hunterdon County and on the national scene as well. There are a lot of times, and I've talked about this a lot on the program because I get a lot of complaints from business owners that say, you know, it's hard to get up and get going and do the same thing every day. And I don't want to treat it like it's Groundhog Day, but sometimes it is hard to keep yourself motivated. You could have had a bad day. Maybe you're facing some financial strain. Maybe a key employee just quit. But there are ways that you can stay motivated. I have 10 of them here that we're going to share with you. 10 ways that small business owners can stay motivated during stressful times. And again, it's not easy to be your own advocate, and small business owners know this all too well. So here are tips on how to treat yourself, stay motivated, and grow your business all at the same time. Taking the entrepreneurial leap to start your own business takes guts. It's not as glamorous as the media likes to portray. In fact, it's often a roller coaster ride filled with ups and downs and a lot of stress. Not everyone can stomach the ride, which is why the survival rate for small businesses is low during the early years, with 75% of all businesses failing in the first 3 to 5 years. Those who are able to handle the stress that comes with this ride stand a much better chance of building a successful business and achieving their goals. I'm a huge fan of networking and entrepreneurial groups. It's the reason that I've joined several of them. And I recently polled fellow business owners and asked what they do to remain motivated when they encounter the downs, which can become extremely stressful. So here are 10 helpful tips that are both effective and easy for you to implement for yourself. First, you want to reward yourself for small victories and milestones. So you may want to set goals and also assign a reward as a way to motivate yourself, but sometimes that end goal can appear out of reach when the stress piles up and weighs your shoulders down. So instead, set more achievable milestones to reach and then smaller rewards for each. Let's say you want to grow your business by $20,000 this quarter. If you make that, what's your reward? And it might be, I'm going to take the family out to dinner, I'm going to buy tickets to a basketball game or a hockey game or something like that, or a baseball game. So give yourself that little, not go buy a car, but let's chip away and make the small victories something that has a value to them. You want to get plenty of rest and don't burn yourself out. Now, years ago, if I was stressed out, I would just work more. You know, my thought process was completely wrong. I thought if I simply just worked more, it would automatically correct the problems. But all that did was burn me out even further and make me less productive. You have to understand it's not always going to be the wins and success. Every business owner experiences bumps in the road. In order to figure out how to navigate through the bumps, you have to have a clear head. And to get a clear head, you have to have a good night's sleep. So try to get at least 6 to 7 hours of sleep per night in order to have that clear head and focus. You also don't want to waste time and miss potential opportunities by looking back. Now, when you are stressed out, you have two choices. You can slow down, look back, and let whatever is causing the stress consume you. or you can keep moving forward. New opportunities, along with solutions that will reduce or eliminate that stress, are in front of you and never behind you. Dwelling on mistakes, failures, or the wrong decisions will only slow you down and potentially cause you to miss opportunities. I always like to say that being an entrepreneur and owning a small business isn't as glamorous as many think. You're often knocked down, and the sooner you understand that, you have to just get back up and keep moving forward rather than looking back or pressing pause, the sooner you will come face-to-face with an abundance of opportunity. Number four, you want to join a community or group of like-minded business owners. Not everyone will understand the ups and downs you experience as a business owner. It can often be a very emotional ride, and it helps to have a strong support system to turn to. And there are a lot of options available, from local meetup groups to online communities and Facebook groups. Your family and friends aren't going to fully understand the things that stress you out, which is why having a strong circle of fellow business owners to talk to is highly effective. I always tell people that find somebody who's a leader in your space, find somebody who's successful in your space, and find somebody who's as good as you are, and try to get those four people in the same room. I do not want you to get people who are not successful, who are the complainers, who are the ones that, you know, always say that it's somebody else's fault, because they're going to drag you down. They're going to suck the life out of you. But if you find somebody who's willing to maybe mentor you, maybe be there for you with a quick phone call to pick you up, that's the person you want to be hanging out with. And eventually, hopefully, you'll get to be that person for someone else. Not only can these groups provide you with a place to vent and give you access to a support system, but the networking can be priceless as well. So I highly recommend every business owner join or be active in several communities and groups, similar to the Chamber of Commerce. BNI groups are very popular. Any networking group, whether it's, you know, established or kind of grassroots, you want to be able to get there. But again, search through the weeds. If someone is a complainer, suddenly excuse yourself and go to the bathroom and get away from them, and then find the person who's successful, who has that same drive and desire that you do. You also need to unplug and spend time with your family and friends. Have you ever felt guilty for taking a full weekend off or skipped a family function during the week because you didn't want to end your day early? I know I was guilty of this in the past, but I eventually realized that you have to learn to unplug. Balance is key, and the time you spend with friends and family completely unplugged from work is healthy. If you are constantly in work mode, and the stress can continue to pile up, eventually causing you to crumble. Having a life away from your business gives you a break, even if just temporarily, from the stress. When you find the perfect balance between your business and your social life, it results in a much healthier mental state of mind. You can't let the stress related to your business control you, so learn to take breaks from it and become much more manageable. Don't be shy about asking for help and advice. Entrepreneurs are a very confident group of people and often think they know everything and have all the answers. I know I was guilty of that in the past, and it wasn't until I learned to seek out the brightest people for help and advice that I was able to reach my full potential as a business owner. If you find yourself stuck, don't be afraid to ask for help. Not only does this help you avoid wasting time, but it also will typically result in the best solution to your problem or situation. One of the main reasons I started doing this was I talked to Steve Califer a lot, and I would bring up, here's my problem, what do you think? And then he would tell me what he thought I should do. And after about 6-7 months of this, I noticed that he started asking me some questions on what I would do. So we've kind of helped each other along the way, and with many other business owners doing the same thing. Again, you have a problem, bounce it off as many walls as possible and come up with a solution for yourself. You want to constantly consume self-education through podcasts and books. I love this. You know, did you know that learning something new can actually help reduce stress? It can, according to a study by Professor David Mayer and PhD students Chen Zhang and Inbit Wang from the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. I find that always learning something new contributes to stress reduction and motivates me at the same time. He listened to podcasts on a daily commute and would try to read on a daily basis as well, even if it's just 15 to 20 minutes. We don't know it all. So if you're reading books by people like Larry Wingate, Grant Cardone, if you're watching podcasts, if you're watching television shows like The Prophet on CNBC, you're going to get knowledge somewhere. What you take away from that. Now, if you read a book by Larry Wingate, you may not be able to recite chapter and verse every word on those pages. But if there's something in there that hits home that you want to try to improve on, that's why learning is constantly evolving. And it doesn't matter whether you've been in business for 5 years or 50, you can always learn something new. You also don't want to neglect physical activity. So when you're stressed out and consumed by your business, it's easy to put your health on the back burner. This is a big mistake that many business owners make. Physical activity is proven to help reduce stress. So it's important that you make an effort to make it a daily priority, regardless of how much work you have on your plate. You don't have to go lift weights for an hour at the gym, but it's healthy to participate in some form of physical activity daily, even if it's just a 20-minute walk around the parking lot. So make sure you're getting out there and getting active. And focus on tackling micro goals rather than the large end goal. I've been preaching this for years. I get so many people, in fact, I had a gentleman, I talked about it on the show a couple of weeks ago. He said he wanted to grow his business by $90,000 this year. But when he looked at it in the first couple of weeks of January, he said, how am I going to find $90,000? And I said, stop. It's not $90,000. It's more like $7,500. And he goes, what do you mean? If you take $90,000, you divide it by 12, I believe it works out to about $7,500 a month. That's what he had to focus on. How can you get $7,500 this month, $7,500 next month? Do that for 12 months, and you've grown by the $90,000. So same thing, you know, in everything you approach. Don't look at the big, hairy, audacious, this is it kind of project. Microchip it. Get it down into small, bite-sized segments, and it's a heck of a lot easier. If you're under a tremendous amount of stress and your end goal appears to be out of reach, it can be very hard to remain motivated. Many people will lose motivation if the goal they set feels too far away. So it's best to break every goal into multiple smaller goals. Being able to accomplish the mini goals allows you to see the forward progress is happening, even if it's at a slower pace, explains Thomas Aseo, who's the CEO and founder of Fresh and Lean. This strategy won't necessarily make stress disappear, but it will make it much easier to deal with. For me, I like to write my goals and micro goals on a whiteboard so that or even a piece of paper so that I have a visual. And also I can visually check off each achievement. I'm very visual, so being able to see goals, even micro ones crossed off, helps me visualize the overall progress much better. I have a little whiteboard. It's about this big, and I'll write the 10 things I need to do every day. I can't tell you how much satisfaction I get when I take the eraser and just one line, two lines, three lines, and hopefully by the end of the day, the board is a blank slate. And always, I talked about this earlier, always visualize success. The stress that comes from being a business owner is much easier to deal with when you are constantly focused on achieving success. I'm always thinking about what the final win and celebration will be, and that alone keeps me highly motivated, regardless of what stressful events I'm currently dealing with. So create a vision board and place it somewhere that you'll see it constantly. This reminder of why you are doing what you are doing will help you remain focused and progressing forward, even when you come face to face with the most stressful circumstances. Also, don't discount material goals. If you have the goal of buying a new car or computer, constantly visualize them. There is nothing wrong with using materialistic goals as motivation either. I was in a gentleman's office this week, and he showed me his vision board. There was a Mercedes. There was an Audi, I believe. There was a couple of beach scenes. There was a picture of his family. And there was also goals as far as work were related with regards to the sales levels that he could achieve. I really liked that he had that vision board in his office. He could turn away, look from his desk, and see it and get back to work and work towards that vision. So always don't just go to work for work's sake. Have a reason. Is it to retire early? Is it to save money for your retirement? And when you speak of that, how much will you need? So is it in 401k or other investments? That kind of thing. Always be working towards some goal. And make it something lofty, make it something successful so that it makes you work just that much harder. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about how you can utilize voice search to build your brand. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt & Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt & Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me on this Thursday afternoon. It's starting to warm up. We're going to hit the 70s on Saturday. Looking forward to that. So make sure that you get out and enjoy that. A little bit of rain coming through on Sunday. So whatever you got to do, hopefully it's something you can do on Saturday. I was downstairs prepping for the show, and people were getting ready for a meeting. One gentleman has a 2:09 tee time tonight, or this afternoon. Another gentleman played golf on Monday. If that's your thing, get out there and do it. Let's talk about voice search for a little bit. When people ask me what's the best way to market their business, I keep telling them any way you can. I've said for 7.5 years on this show and for several years before that, the number one rule, my number one rule in business is ABP, always be promoting. So hopefully you're doing that. Now, what does that mean? Always be promoting is very simple. Every time you have a chance to talk about your business, promote it. Customers in your store and they say, oh, I didn't know you do that. Oh, absolutely. Let me show you. You know, you want to be promoting. Person hits you up in the elevator. You got 30 floors to go. They say, what do? You better have that 30-second elevator pitch. We just talked about networking groups. How would you promote your business if someone said, what do? What does your business do? So hopefully you have that ready to go. But there's another way, and that is voice search. Now, if you're familiar with Alexa and all the other automated tools that are in a lot of people's homes, you'll also hear like radio stations and others say, Alexa, play me Sirius XM NASCAR. And all of a sudden the announcers are coming through, Mike Bagley and Pete Pistone are coming through in your morning drive television or radio show. Alexa, play me Magic 98.3. And all of a sudden the music is playing, or play me a certain song. But using that for your brand could be very helpful and help you build your brand. Now, if you're not taking voice search seriously, you'll eventually have to turn your head to it. You just make sure that you want to do it before your competitors do. So think about this. You're at home and you say something like, okay, Google, tell me why digital assistants are so important to businesses these days. And then she'll say, I'm sharing a great article to help you understand that. If you don't know where this is going, where the heck have you been? Do you use your phone to say, okay, Google, what is the population of Ethiopia? Or anything. It's so easy to ask that question and in 1.2 seconds have an answer. So the current age of technology is literally about turning sci-fi fantasies into reality. Every year, human interaction is edging closer to that technology. From services entering our computer screens to pocket devices, and now more or less a friend, they stay right next to your bed. A solution through technology that once required a series of hitting a slew of keys, move to the touch of a mobile screen, and now you don't even have to look at the device. If you still haven't gotten the hint, we're talking about digital assistants. It's the new fish in the quote digipond. Now, as per the suggestion of CIPR survey data, smart speakers are owned by approximately 45 million Americans, or one out of every six Americans own a smart speaker, according to a recent study by Edison Research and NPR. Now, what makes it more interesting is how people are connecting with it. If we speak about first impressions, digital assistants seem more of a fun tool than something that people would take seriously. Siri was used to solve mathematical problems. Alexa probably about playing music for you. But it turned out to be a different story by the end of last year. Today, people fancy digital assistants to help them with their everyday chores, be it calendar reminders about events, live scores, or making food ordering easy. People are making fair use of these smart devices, according to Google. 72% use smart speakers at least once every day. Voice search is turning into serious business. Now, if you take a moment and realize the sole aim of these advancements is to make our lives easy, to make us lazy humans, and when you're running a business, it's obviously that you'd have to mold your tactics as per customer habits. That being said, take digital assistants in perspective now. Now, since voice-related searches have started to make a significant impact on the SERPs, it's no surprise how businesses have bent backwards to adapt to that change. For example, Siri started taking Uber ride requests since the year 2016, and later on, Google Home and Alexa joined the party and made that feature available. Domino's was one of the early ones among the giant organizations to delve into the voice ordering business. Domino's even allows you to store your records in order to make your future orders more convenient. You have to seize this opportunity. Now, recall the fact that technology is making us lazy. It's safe to say that the majority of our customers avoid the hassle while making a purchase. And when you have the option of getting things done in the matter of a few commands, why would you go through all the trouble for the same service? Voice commands obviously make that experience easier, and the number of smart speakers used is only going to go up in time. As per the report by Tractica, the number of users is going to skyrocket to a whopping 1.8 billion by 2021. So let's see how businesses can utilize these digital assistants for their brands. First, you have to understand SEO that's associated with natural voice. The first thing that you need to understand is that search queries during voice search have a completely different nature when compared to that of regular searches. Voice search queries are generally in the form of complete questions and not just long-form keywords. Some of the most common questions are related to the latest deals and promotions or future events. You want to optimize for complete sentence questions. While regular searches could have keywords instead of proper sentences, voice searches contain complete sentences. For example, if you wanted to find out about the place that serves good Italian food around you, you'll simply search something like, "best Italian food near me." However, a voice search for the same would sound something like, "hey Google, where can I get good Italian food near Dallas?" So you're going to have to optimize your location. Now, if you think about the example, there's a mention of a place in it, which means the user's location also plays a part in the query. So the AI also keeps the user's location in consideration when processing the query. That means the search results would rank local businesses in order to rank better in these results. Make sure you have integrated Google Maps for your business. So you need to have all the important information like opening hours, phone numbers, deals, what credit cards, is there parking related to your business available on your website and social media handles to do well on voice search. Then you also have to optimize for short answers. For desktop search, you're optimizing for a long-form answer to your short-form question. When it comes to voice search, you're optimizing for the opposite. So consider how the answer to your question is read out loud and make sure the answer can be read quickly and concisely. You want to use a conversational tone and the importance of frequently asked questions. Voice searching is simple. People don't say things like, "suggest me a Brobingham bed, Alexa." What they want to buy is a king-size bed. They would rather say, "suggest me a good king-size bed" to their digital assistant. Keeping that in mind, always remember that the more conversational and simpler in your content, the better are if its chances making it up to the top of these search results. So the crux of the matter is you have to keep two things in your mind when you're doing SEO for voice queries: long-tail keywords and FAQs. Both of these are interrelated. You have to understand that your customers generally look for. Like, people generally ask for locations, prices, times, timings, and other hows and ifs that are associated with your business. Including questions related to these queries on your websites makes it more frequently or friendly to voice searches. You could weave questions around long-tail keywords to impart better SEO to your website. Apart from these, you could specifically tailor your operations for different digital assistants in the market. For example, you can build your app or website according to guidelines provided by Amazon for Alexa Skills. About time to get your business ready for voice searching? Well, all in all, if you're not taking voice search seriously, you'll eventually have to turn your head to it. Just make sure you do it before your competitors do. When your business appears on voice search, it adds another layer of authenticity and credibility to your business. Not to mention, it gives your business an opportunity to communicate with your customers without the need of a human at that very instant. Let that sink in for just a minute. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. Again, so glad you could join me. Got a few more minutes. Let's touch on a quick one. In the beginning of the year, I told you had to set your goals for the year. How much do you want to grow? What piece of equipment do you want to buy? How many people do you want to hire? Percentage of growth, etc. So have you stuck to that New Year's resolution? It's harder than it seems. But here are practical tips that you can still do to achieve your small business goals, even though we're at the end of the first quarter. First, determine exactly how much money you want to take home. Rather than grabbing a number out of the air that's higher than last year's, Ivana Taylor with DIY Marketers advises writing down all of your expenses plus everything you'd like to buy in the next year to come up with a realistic estimate. You'll either discover that your financial goal was too high with no reason other than your ego to reach it, or you'll discover that your number was too low to reach your goals and that you need to increase it. You want to pay your profits first. Where have we heard that before, children? Taylor recommends using the Profit First system written about by Mike Michalowicz, who we interviewed on this program last June. And that involves paying yourself first, followed by budgeting for everything else after. After reviewing last year's monthly income, determining a percentage to funnel into separate profit bank accounts, or skimming a percentage off every invoice works too. The peace of mind and success that comes from paying yourself first and then budgeting accordingly is priceless. And set only one goal for the year. Pick a single goal that's easily measured and objective. This task makes your goal easy to track. For example, my overall marketing goal is to use advertising to support my online business, says Taylor. To accompany this, I have to meet certain website traffic levels. To achieve the website traffic levels, I have to create specific types of content, and so on. You see, for one big goal, there are dozens of smaller strategies and tasks tied to it. So, again, we talk about goals all the time. Where are you at? This is a good weekend to start measuring how you did in the first quarter compared to your goals, and then make any adjustments you might have to for the second, third, and fourth quarters. We'll have more on that next week as well. In sports, the NBA and NHL seasons are marching toward the playoffs. In NASCAR news, Brad Keselowski won the STP 500 at Martinsville Speedway last week to take home the coveted Grandfather Clock Trophy. This week, the teams travel to Texas for the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 Sunday at 3 p.m. Also, it's a good idea if you're a NASCAR fan to go to NASCAR.com to see the changes in the 2020 race schedule, including a doubleheader at Pocono on a Saturday and Sunday. In Major League Baseball, opening day is today. In NFL news, the New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, better known as Gronk, has announced he is retiring from professional football. Today and tomorrow in the NCAA tournament begins the Sweet 16 round, followed by the Elite 8 on Saturday, and then we will know who is in the Final Four. How is your bracket looking now? One gentleman in Ohio is perfect thus far on his way to winning $1 million. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. For more information about me and my businesses, visit JimGaneau.com. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Fireworks on Thursday on Capitol Hill.
Mr. Ambassador, you are recognized for your opening statement. I will not yield. Mr. Ambassador, you
are... You just made some things about all of us that I think we all should get the opportunity to respond to. We think you ought to allow us to speak of what
you
we think.
You can use your 5 minutes to speak. You attacked me in your opening statement, and I've responded.
I have not had an opportunity to respond at all, especially to your statements of what we think, because no one over here thinks that.
That exchange on Capitol Hill as Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee on Thursday demanded Adam Schiff step down as chairman over the California Democrats' repeated claims to have evidence of the president working with Russia during the 2016 presidential election. More than a million private wells are at risk due to massive flooding across the Midwest. Groundwater in 10 states is threatened by bacteria and industrial contamination that was